Hello and welcome to 23, the podcast for young, sharp-tongued and fucking fabulous people who love to talk shit. From the overthinkers and oversharers to the fearful and the fearless, from friendships to social injustice to Taylor Swift's new album, we got you covered.
You'll be joined by me, Bella Rutherford.
And me, Kelsey Menzies.
For good times, all the time. Just a quick disclaimer before we get started. The views discussed in this podcast are exclusively our own. We are not experts and we are certainly not claiming to be. We wanted a space to discuss, critique and analyse the good, the bad and all the shit in between that comes along with being in your 20s. So enter Podcast 23. We are learning as we go and are sure to make mistakes, but we're super excited to give this a crack and see what happens.
Today, we're talking all things cancel culture, including what it's like being cancelled by your friends. We're also taking a look at the hashtag challenge accepted trend and the unforeseen side effects of mobilising the masses. Let's get to it.
What up, Kels?
Hey, Belle.
How you going?
Good. How are you?
You know what? The sun is shining and the birds are chirping.
Yeah, it's like a nice day today outside.
It's beautiful. Happy, happy, happy.
Yeah.
So, Kels, tell me a little bit about your week. What's been happening? Back at uni.
Oh, back at uni and it's week two and I'm already dying.
It's a shit show.
It is the last semester of uni though, so it's to be expected.
You're on the home stretch.
On the home stretch, but I think that would be one of the lows of my week, going back to uni.
And a high?
I went on like a really nice weekend in the city with my boyfriend. We kind of knew that we weren't gonna, you know, get to go away anywhere anytime soon. So we just thought, well, the money that we were going to spend on like an overseas holiday, why don't we just spend it in our own city? You know, give some money back to those small businesses that aren't as busy as they usually are. And also we had a really nice time. We like went to heaps of cocktail bars. We went to some really nice restaurants.
Made me super jealous about it as well the whole entire time.
I texted Bella pretty much any time we went to a new restaurant and was like, look at this food.
I was just sitting at home sad by myself. Yeah. Kidding.
Sorry.
I was so glad I got to come along for the ride.
Yeah. We kind of said to ourselves, we're never going to get the opportunity to spend money on ridiculous things ever again, really, especially going into like the economic climate that we are going to be going into. And we have no responsibilities. We don't have children. We don't have a mortgage. We don't have any of those icky things that are coming up in the future. We really have nothing. We're never going to be able to get to, you know, spend money on stupid shit again. So we were like, let's just take this opportunity by the balls. Let's just have fun. And in saying that, we didn't spend like a ridiculous amount of money, but you know, I kind of treated myself to some things that I usually wouldn't. And it was a really fun weekend to just not think about. It was like holiday mode in your own city. It was really great.
Yeah, it's so nice. I think it's so nice as well to take a bit of time for yourself in whatever capacity you decide you want to do that in. Yeah. And just like let your head down, have some fun.
But we can really only say that because we live in Sydney, whereas the people in Victoria, my heart completely goes out to you. Victoria went into a state of disaster in the last fortnight, which is, oh, I can't even imagine the first lockdown here. I mean, it was good for me because I was at uni, so I was kind of, I had time to focus on my uni work and I felt like I had more time to do that. I wasn't spending 3 hours a day on a bus getting to uni, but it was still hard. We still had to adapt to living inside a home with, you know, your family, which is great sometimes, but 24/7 can be hard.
It can get really stressful, absolutely. And yeah, as Kelsey said, my heart as well goes out to the people in Victoria. I couldn't imagine having come out of it thinking that you're on the home stretch, thinking that you're kind of, you know, obviously moving towards a clearer, healthier world, and then it all just turning back and shutting down again. So we're thinking of you and we hope that, you know, you're all okay down there and we're sending you heaps and heaps of love.
I actually have a really interesting tweet by Bridget Huthwaite that I think kind of encapsulates a lot of our frustrations around the coronavirus restrictions, in particular people who don't follow the coronavirus restrictions, and people in Melbourne would feel this a lot more than we would here in Sydney. But Steve Price, who's a broadcaster, a journalist, he was kind of baselessly criticizing Daniel Andrews, who is a Victorian Premier, if you don't know. He was kind of saying that it was a disgraceful failure on his part, all of this other stuff. And Bridget Huthwaite wrote, actually, I'm feeling let down by those who have been tested and didn't self-isolate, those who tested positive and went home when police came to check on them, those who are still walking around complacent about this whole thing, not by our Premier who shows up every damn day. It's a sad time for Victorians. I really, really, my heart goes out. And it kind of makes me a bit nervous for our future here. So
absolutely. Yeah, New South Wales, I mean, we seem to be relatively all right at the moment, but we can see that it only takes a few people, it only takes a few situations to blow it out of proportion again. So everyone be really smart, be really safe. Think about your actions before you do them. Think about the people that you might be affecting. Just keep everybody else's health at the front of your brain at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Belle, what was the high of your week?
So many highs.
I think I already know the answer to this.
It's
so exciting.
It's so general. It couldn't get any more boring. No, so, well, the weather, for one, has been absolutely delightful, and I thrive in sunshine, which has been so nice. It helps me so much with my productivity. I don't know what it is. As soon as it's raining, I want to curl up in a little ball and watch Gilmore Girls and not move.
I think I'm the opposite. I'm so much more productive when it's raining because I feel like I'm not missing out on anything that's going on outside.
I just like the sunshine helps me do things.
Fair enough.
It gives me
that vitamin D energy.
We love just vitamin D.
Just D energy. Big vitamin D energy.
Big D energy. And also, I had dumplings for dinner last night, and they were delicious.
Did you make them?
No.
We should do that one time. We should make dumplings. I feel like they're super easy.
I did the classic where I was like, I'll just get four and see how I go, and then demolish them within probably about 25 seconds, and then went and bought four more. And the lady genuinely laughed at me when I went back to buy four more. But they were so good. Dumplings make everything better.
Yeah. Well, what about the low?
The low is I have dermatitis on my face.
Oh, no. Oh,
and Bella was so sad.
Yeah, you were so sad this morning. Bella was like, I can't smile properly. And it Bella hurts. Can't function without smiling.
It was not super fun. It's been on my face for a few weeks now, and I didn't quite know what it was. I thought it was just winter being painful and making my skin dry. And then I had to go to see a dermatologist yesterday, which was so fun for my bank account. It just loved going to the dermatologist.
$215 for 15 minutes. Seems reasonable.
Oh my gosh, so unnecessary. And then the diagnosis was, we're not entirely sure why this happens, so you're just going to have to put some moisturizer on it and take some medication, and it should get better.
Hopefully.
If a doctor says the word should, I'm like, excuse me? No judgment, but it's frustrating nonetheless. But, you know, we're on the up.
Well, a little bit of a wrap-up of what's been happening in the news this week. We already spoke about Victoria being in a state of disaster. Once again, really sad. Another low was Ida Buttrose, the chair of the ABC, kind of said that young people need more hugs, insinuating that our refusal to be treated like shit in the workplace is a slight on our ethic. Kind of. It was really unnecessary, really unwarranted comments. She kind of said that, you know, back in her day, you know, people were more resilient and that, you know, they didn't complain about things as much as a younger generation. Like, sorry, excuse me for not putting up with bullshit in the workplace. Excuse me for not for demanding what we're worth.
Isn't it just so backwards though? Like, we're at a point where finally we're starting to find, you know, power, people are starting to become more empowered, we're starting to find equality, all these amazing things are happening in our world at the moment. And then a comment like this just takes it back.
Yeah, like, sorry, but we're going into a recession. We face so many job contract insecurities. Our wage growth has stagnated at 2% for God knows how long. And we're the first generation to be worse off than our predecessors. That is not... I'm sorry, we're resilient as fuck. The only thing is that we're just not quiet about it.
Yeah, and we're not going to ever be quiet about it. So if you aren't okay with that, then figure something else out. Also, like, this is not the environment to be making these kind of comments. It's we're in COVID. This is the most difficult, challenging economic climate that we have been in for years. Do not make these comments at this particular point. We're meant to be bolstering people up. We're meant to be helping each other. We're meant to be supporting each other. We're not meant to be tearing each other down. If you're unhappy, figure that out.
Yeah. Ben Jenkins on Twitter made a really pertinent comment about this. He said, when people like Buttrose ignore the unique material conditions faced by this generation and instead focus on wafty culture wars, snowflakes discourse, and it's a deliberate choice to reframe the conversation on terms that suit them, and is pretty neat that it works 100% of the time.
It's a really interesting comment, actually, because it does really, I mean, you and I have definitely experienced this kind of, you know, mentality in when you're working with older people in the workforce or people with more experience, is you do tend to get put in the box of, you know, they don't really know what they're talking about. They're still learning. They're just out of uni, which are all valid points. However, we're all coming up and we're trying really hard to work our ass off and to help you and to benefit you and to add our skills. And we do have lots of different skills in comparison to our older generations. Like we do learn different things at uni now. Education has changed. We do have things that are really valuable to add to all industries.
I read this like hilarious thing, and it was like, I think it was in a post by BuzzFeed, and it was saying like tweets that prove that millennials are sick of all this bullshit. And one of them was, these boomers getting paid $150K and don't even know how to like rotate a PDF. And I was like, that's so fucking true.
And it's fine. Like, we're here to help and we're here to teach you, but don't discriminate and then expect us to teach you.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be rude to us and then be like, oh, can I have your help?
Because we ain't here for that.
We ain't here for that.
Some of the highs of the week, though, it's been a delightful fortnight. There's been some wonderful things that have entered this world.
Yeah, Taylor Swift released her new album, Folklore.
I tell you what, this is just what we needed.
Have you listened to it yet?
Like a million times.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of some of her first albums, minus all the country we were both huge fans of Taylor Swift when we were younger.
We've got this on record, Kelsey, saying country's gross.
Sometimes it's not my favorite genre. When I was younger.
Each to their own, though.
Yeah, but Taylor Swift, she was all like pop country. It was completely different than just country.
Arguable.
It was pop country. That's what it was.
Well, it started off as country and then it turned to pop.
Yeah, exactly. No, yes. I see where you're coming from.
You're arguing with a hardcore Taylor Swift fan and it's not going to end well for you.
Yeah, true.
It's just so beautiful. It has like such a positive and like content energy to it. Like it makes you feel really just like settled.
Thanks, Taylor Swift. And also, what a legend for doing this. Apparently she wrote the album in isolation, produced it, mixed it, and then released it for us. I love you, Taylor Swift.
We love you.
I know Taylor Swift is not everybody's cup of tea, but you have to recognize she writes or co-writes every single one of her songs. She's an incredible musician, even though her music might not be to everybody's taste, because it is very – there definitely are some songs which I am not a fan of whatsoever, but all in
all – you can't downplay her work ethic. You can't downplay her dedication. She works so hard and is constantly creating these beautiful – you know, works of art, regardless of whether they're your taste or not.
Speaking of works of art, Beyonce released Black is King, also a great thing to be seeing right now. Like, I think it's uplifted so many people, started so many new conversations in a really positive way as well, which
I just love how Beyonce utilizes her like artistic kind of essence to start conversations or to add to conversations and add value to our society in such a interesting and unique way.
If you have an Instagram account, you definitely would have seen the hashtag challenge accepted trend going around. Bella, did you participate in this challenge?
I actually didn't. I was sent lots of messages from friends and from, you know, wonderful women in my life asking me to get involved in this particular social media movement or trend. I'm not entirely sure what you would call it. However, once kind of learning the reasoning behind the instigation of this particular trend, I didn't want to get involved in a surface level way. I wanted to understand the reasoning behind it. I did lots of reading on it. Kelsey and I had a few conversations about it. I had a conversation with my mum about it as well. I think it was really important, and I think that the importance got lost in how social media kind of portrayed this particular trend.
Just a little backstory about this trend. So the actual black and white notion originated in 2016 to raise cancer awareness, but it was repurposed when a young woman in Turkey, Pinar Gültekin, she was murdered by her boyfriend. And also at the same time, Turkish leaders have been threatening to remove the Istanbul Convention, which protects victims of domestic violence and gender-based violence. So that's where the trend originated from, with that hashtag, to kind of stand in solidarity with the victims of gender-based violence. And it kind of morphed overseas and, you know, celebrities took part in it. But as it continued to grow and more people were taking part in it, the meaning was lost a little bit. Some people got really angry that the meaning was lost and people weren't recognizing that this is about femicides, this is about domestic violence. People got angry that people weren't you know, continuing that conversation. So then this other hashtag kind of came about, which was the Women Supporting Women hashtag. So then people kind of using that, people liked the whole idea of showcasing or nominating women in your life that you want to highlight and that you love. And I really loved that whole sentiment as well. But it was a really good lesson for me, because when I first saw those black and white photos going up, I was a bit confused. I had no idea what it was going on. But just from looking at it on a face value, I was like, oh, this is nice. You know, women supporting women. Great. I like that. But when I did a little bit more research, I realized why this whole thing started. And it did make me realize, wow, if I participated in this challenge without knowing this, I would have felt really bad and I would have felt really ignorant that I didn't highlight the violence going on in the Middle East. And I did end up participating in the challenge, but I posted a photo of my sister and I also made sure that I was highlighting where this originated from and why we're doing this. But yeah, I think in the end it ended up being two different things. It kind of split into two roads: people that continued to spread the awareness about what was happening in Turkey, and then people just supporting women. So
doesn't this just like reinforce what we were discussing in our previous episode about like taking things on face value? Is that like we all have the ability, we all have the access, we all have the resources at our fingertips to understand these movements better. And it is our responsibility as young people, but then just as people in general, as social media users, to look into, to do our research, to do our due diligence on these topics prior to...
It's hard to know though. Like I said, at face value, you wouldn't, by the time it got to our news feeds, you wouldn't know where it originated from. You just wouldn't know. So you would
but
see
how
it-
long does it take to do a quick search? That's my... And I know that that's something that I don't necessarily participate in as much as I should. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect and I look up every single movement that I see online. However, like, we do have access to the resources for us to understand these trends and these movements better. One of our girlfriends came to me this week during this, when this trend was occurring. She's starting to look into women's roles in society a bit more and growing her understanding of feminism. And she'd looked into this prior to participating in it. And it was really interesting to hear her thoughts on the subject, something that she probably even a month ago might not have actually looked into prior to incorporating herself in this movement, prior to reposting, prior to sharing. Somebody who is obviously really interested in, you know, social justice topics, but struggles to understand where to start and to try and find the information that's necessary to educate themselves, to really care and to show empathy with the situation and then to respond accordingly was really, really heartwarming.
I do think hindsight is really easy to sit here in hindsight and say, we need to research these things more before we participate in these challenges. But I do agree with 100%. But
I don't think it's we need to. I think it's that we have the ability to. So when, just keep that in your mind. Just think. Talk to your friend about it before reposting. Talk to your mum about it. Have a Google, have a search on Instagram. Like, we do have access. I think that's what I'm trying to say, is that a lot of the time I feel like I don't understand something, but I don't take the time to look into it, when like we do actually have access to be able to understand these things better.
Yeah, it's definitely a good example of how fast and effective social media is at mobilizing people. But like I said, when it is moving so quickly, you do lose the meaning behind a lot of things.
I mean, the reason that I learned about the backstory of this particular trend was because of you, because you sent me some articles on it, and then I got to read into it more. That's what I'm saying, is, you know, you took the time to do your due diligence and then you shared that with me.
I did see a lot of posts from other girls saying that the criticism that like some other women have faced because they participated in the challenge without knowing is kind of unwarranted, because like I said, on face value, you really wouldn't know. You just would think it was a nice trend to take part in. And I do think, just as much as we need to think about a trend before we hop on the bandwagon, we also need to give the space for women, or for people that did jump on the bandwagon without thinking about it. Yeah, social media is such a weird place where things move so quickly, and we can't bash people down for not knowing, because, I mean, it is hard to know unless you are people like us that question everything that happens in our lives.
And that also that we, you know, I'm really lucky to have people like Kelsey around me that share information when she reads it, when she finds out about it as well, which lots of people, I mean, you know, might not have a Kelsey resource encyclopedia at their fingertips, which I'm really lucky to have.
Another thing that with this challenge, I mean, and I'm talking about now when it became more a women supporting women challenge, one thing that I kept thinking was, how bad would you feel if all your friends are participating in the challenge and nobody tagged you in it? Like, people are, you know, highlighting the most spectacular women in their lives. I think all of them are spectacular, but I only tag like 3 people. It did make me think about maybe some girls that saw their friends participating in the challenge and they didn't get tagged. That would feel really shitty, having none of your friends think that you are special enough to be a part of the challenge.
Yeah, like, it has the ability to ostracize people really easily.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I felt bad when I did see the trend first start happening. What an inkling back in my brain kind of said, oh, how come I haven't been tagged in this yet? This is before I really understood what it was about and why we were doing it. But yeah, and it was an interesting thing to think about when these things take off. Who's involved? Who's not involved? Why are they not involved? Is that a good thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Another interesting thought I had when this trend was happening before, and I kind of experienced this a lot when the Black Lives Matter movement was taking off. Even I posted a lot of things about the Black Lives Matter movement when it happened. My stepfather's Indigenous. This is a topic really close to my heart. And I was posting a lot on social media, but every time I did post something, I had this overwhelming feeling that I was going to be cancelled, that somebody somewhere wasn't going to agree with what I was saying, people were going to come after me for kind of speaking out. And we see a lot of cancel culture stuff happen with celebrities and with big news stories. Obviously, when it happens to us, it's on a much smaller scale, but it's still something that terrifies me, is that I'm going to say something, or I'm going to put my thoughts out there, and my friends or my family or people that I don't even know are going to cancel me as such.
I think it's like the fear that we all have of like being called out. I think that's more on our level, is that like we look at cancel culture as this like really huge overarching kind of concept that happens in, you know, pop culture quite often in the world of celebrities. My personal fear is that I'm going to say something might not be my place. It might be something that I'm not educated enough on and I'm going to be judged for. I'm going to be criticized or critiqued on my point of view and my opinion.
Well, it's kind of like you don't want to – I want so bad not to be the type of person that perpetuates bigotry and
– And discrimination.
I don't want to be that person, and I'm so afraid to be that person that sometimes I don't speak up because I'm so afraid that I'm going to be a part of that boat and that people will – jump on me for it. Cancel culture doesn't really allow growth, which is a fundamental part of being humans. We all make mistakes constantly, especially at this age. I have changed, my mind has been blown about 15,000 times in the last year about things that I didn't previously understand. I mean, I do think there is a time and place when cancel culture is completely valid. I think people that have huge platforms should not be given voices to spout out misinformation and hatred. Definitely there is a time and place where things do need to be cut off, and like that's enough of that.
I think the thing is with cancel culture is because it's so public and like it happens in the public sphere, where I agree with you that there does come a time when people are sharing information that is hurting others and is discriminating others, that they shouldn't have access to the platforms in order to continue to have that really hurtful and negative conversation. But I still think that we all need to, which is I think what you're alluding to, allow room for growth and for change. And we've seen this so much this year specifically. I know that I've experienced this so much personally this year, is I've always been somebody that's been really opinionated. I've always been somebody that speaks out about the issues that I care about. I've always been one to stand up for people that, you know, have experienced hardship or are in, you know, more tumultuous situations than I am. I have privilege. I have the ability to speak out about topics. I'm not going to be thrown in jail, or I'm not going to suffer any huge life-altering
consequences,
which is why I've always felt obliged to stand up for the things that I care about and to stand up for the people that might not be able to do it for themselves. But then I do – translating that across to social media has always been something that I've really struggled with.
It's a fear.
It's a fear for being called out for speaking your mind, which I'm happy to be called out for speaking my mind face-to-face. because I can justify myself. I can learn. I can understand. There's so many other facets that come into the situation when you're being called out face to face. There's tone of voice. There's body language. There's allowing space for conversation.
Most people aren't going to say to your face, straight to your face, fuck you, you stupid bitch. People aren't going to say that to your face. However, online, behind screens, people are more than happy to say completely vile things to you instead of having the conversation with you to grow and to open your mind and kind of say, oh, shit, I didn't actually understand that. Thanks for telling me. But in saying this, I think this is a fear that I'm going to have to get over, because I think silence is also like being complicit. When the hashtag challenge accepted trend came along, part of me was like, I'm not going to be quiet about this. I do want to participate in this, but I do want to make sure I do the research before I put something out there, because I don't want to. A lot of the time I do so much research on topics because I'm so afraid that I am going to be a part of the bigot boat, and I don't want to be a part of that boat. But in saying that, it is okay to be called out on things. It is okay to call other people out on things, as long as you're doing it in a respectful way, in a really understanding way, because we can all understand what it's like to hold views that aren't necessarily right in this social context. I know what that's like. I held views that now I look back on them and say, I can't believe you ever thought that. Like, that was really wrong. But I still had to allow myself that time to the time to grow and learn from that. So
I think it's as well being kind to yourself, because we do see so much hate and negativity online, which is, I think, what you were saying, one of the reasons that I don't hop on all of these movements or jump on these trends is because I am concerned about the negative feedback that I will cop, or that I have the ability, you know, to be directed or targeted towards me. However, you do really need to learn to be kind with yourself, kind in your misunderstandings, and show that towards your friends and your family too. We're all here to help each other. We're all here to build each other up. We're all here to educate each other. We are so lucky. I mean, Kelsey and I specifically, I'm speaking from our personal situation. We're so lucky that we get to have open and honest and transparent conversations about topics that we really, really care about. If we're not 100% sure, like, be understanding that you have the space to learn and to grow. You mm-hmm. have that space, and give the people you care about that space too. And try and translate that concept and that ethic online when you're discussing topics or having difficult conversations online too. Translate that concept across and allow people space.
The more I kept thinking about cancel culture, the more I realized how much it plays out in our own lives, and particularly in our own friendship groups almost. What do you think about that?
It is really interesting kind of understanding the motivation behind cancel culture and then how it translates into other areas of our lives. But Kelsey, do you want to explain it to me a little bit more so I can wrap my head around it?
Okay, so I'm going to use an example from our friendship, because Bella and I had a very tumultuous friendship when we were in high school.
Tumultuous?
Tumultuous?
There's no R.
Whatever. You get the point.
Tumultuous, everybody. Yeah. Thank you.
We had a rocky relationship in high school.
It was a bit of a mess.
It was a bit of a mess.
For a while there.
And so, I don't know, something happened. We both were pissing each other off and something tipped me over the edge, and I quite literally just cancelled you. I just went, nah, not talking to you. That's it. I'm done. And I was fucking ruthless. Like,
she was done.
I was really done. I did not talk to you for like a year and a half. I was over it. I was like, I'm over Bella's shit. I don't want this in my life anymore. And I just fully cancelled you. And looking back on it now, knowing, kind of like evaluating it now, obviously we didn't have the word cancelling back then.
And that concept wasn't part of our like pop culture and social kind of commentary either.
I mean, at the time, like, it needed to happen. We needed space from each other. And the only reason why we're still friends today is because we both worked on what we were letting each other down by. We both made those. And the thing is that we gave each other that time for like retribution and for growth, which is something that I feel like cancel culture in general doesn't allow anymore. So I thought that was like interesting, because I was like, I have definitely cancelled people in my life, even in my adult...
i.e. me.
Yeah, i.e. you, Bella. But even in my adult life, I watch... I've seen it happen in lots of friends groups where one person will decide that they don't like somebody, and then
it's usually based on personal experience or opinion rather than
fact.
Like having factual evidence or anything to substantiate the claims.
Well, like I know when it's happened in friend groups that I've been a part of in my childhood and in my adult life, somebody will just stop liking somebody, or something will happen that'll piss somebody off. You know, they'll start talking to other people, and then slowly but surely this kind of poison kind of starts spreading to a point where I feel like sometimes people just get cancelled, just like, nah, done, we don't want anything to do with you, or they get slowly pushed out. And it's not explicit either. It's so covert. It happens behind closed doors. It's like a big game of Chinese whispers.
It happens in regards to, and as Kelsey said, it is really difficult to spot. It isn't obvious at all. But it happens really slowly, and it happens through like a shift in dynamic, which I find really interesting. Mm. And it's kind of like the social status and the social dynamic of your, you know, group of friends or of whatever social circle you're referring to in this particular context. It really depends. Like there's a huge, it's a power play happening. Like it's kind of who holds the most power or who holds the most social weight in a way, and like what influence do they have, and then how that kind of changes and how it shifts and how that person utilizes their status in a certain context. And I'm not referring to hierarchy here. It's like the dynamic of the social group, and then like how that can change, and how one person, if their opinion does change, if they actually have the power to create that shift that ends up in cancelling somebody. Because imagine how many people haven't been cancelled because the person that hasn't liked them hasn't had like the status or the power to create that shift.
Yeah.
So it really depends on like, it's the dynamic. It's a really interesting thing to consider in this situation.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. But like I've been cancelled before. But this is the thing though. I wholeheartedly believe if your values don't align with somebody else's, you do not have to be friends with them. You
could not agree more.
Like you can cancel people. You can cancel people out of your life. Do not feel obliged to stay friends with someone if I think there is a time and a place. It's like with cancel culture on fucking social media. There is a time and a place where canceling is necessary. And sometimes you have to cancel people out of your own life. But I think you need to be really conscious of why you're cancelling them. Do your values not align, or are you just maybe a little bit jealous, or maybe
we tend to stay friends with people because we stay friends with people, right? Like that's what happens. You establish your friendships, you might meet new friends, make new friends, your friendships grow and evolve and change. But it is okay to step back from a friendship.
Yeah.
It is always going to be okay. We have this concept in romantic relationships where we can end it. In friendships, it is difficult and it's more complex, but we still have the ability to do that. And I think the word, I mean, personally for me, the word cancel is really harsh and it holds really negative connotations. I think maybe like step back or disassociate might be a slightly better way of framing it, just in regards to like personable communications and having one-on-one interactions with somebody. But I definitely think that it's something that, you know, it is necessary in some respects. And we do need to get better at realizing when we do need to just...
The whole issue that I have with cancel culture is jumping on a bandwagon without really analyzing something. And I think it happens in our friend groups as well when, like I said before, someone will have an issue with somebody else and other people will just jump on the bandwagon without really considering why they are doing it. Like, has this person actually hurt you, or are you just...
following along because it's easy, or because you haven't really thought about it properly?
Yeah, or because, you know, you like this, you know, this person's your better friend, so you have to not like that person because they said so.
Yeah, it's really interesting actually looking at it from like from a step back, like not being involved in it, actually like pragmatically assessing how the kind of friend dynamics work and then how it all kind of plays out.
I feel like I've cancelled people. Like I said, I've cancelled you before. You're cancelled.
Yeah, and look who came crawling back, ladies and gentlemen. I think you and I are a prime example. I do quite often refer to you if I'm talking about like friendship evolution, because you and I are such an interesting case in like we have had such
ups
shit
and downs
happen, but we've also been such good friends for so long as well, and it has been a roller coaster. But it just shows that if both parties are willing to work equally and are willing to forgive and are willing to move forward and are willing to really, like, put in effort with each other, like, you can grow and evolve simultaneously.
You're not doomed forever. No.
And it's not concrete. If you cancel someone from out of your life, it can be temporary. If that person changes and evolves and you change and evolve and then it comes to a time when you can revisit your relationship and it works for you,
yeah,
then just
it works.
Start again. Awesome.
A lot of the time when someone's being cancelled, it's coming from one ideology, one person or one group of people saying, no, this is not right, or no, we don't agree with this ideology, this is wrong. Who is saying that, and where are they getting that information from? Because
and their intention behind it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to find a way to bring up Taylor Swift every single episode. That's going to be my thing.
Hallelujah.
But we flash back to, when was it? Like 2016 or something? Mm-hmm. When the hashtags Taylor Swift is over party was trending, instigated by the one and only Kim Kardashian. We all know what this is about. Taylor Swift apparently approved the lyrics, "I made that bitch famous."
And I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Wow.
Apparently she approved those lyrics. Kim K recorded that phone call of apparently Taylor Swift approving them. And of course, when the lyrics did come out, Taylor Swift said, "I did not know about this." And it was this big, oh, Taylor Swift is a snake. It caused Taylor Swift to go into like a 1 year, she turned into a recluse for a year. And I think from her documentary, suffered some really terrible mental health
ramifications from this particular situation.
Turns out, flash forward to January of this year, we find out, which I don't know why anybody didn't question this in the first place, we find out that Kim Kardashian, in fact, had heavily edited the footage that she put out. She left out a lot of crucial details, made a lot of insinuations that were also false. And it turned out that Taylor Swift was, in fact, telling the truth the whole time.
So many people got caught up in the drama of this too. I mean, human beings love drama. Why do you think reality TV is a thing? Why do you think Kardashians exist in the first place? But so many people got so excited by, you know, all the dramatic, you know, way that this was portrayed, the videos being leaked.
Remember the snake emoji thing that was like, if you looked on Taylor Swift's Instagram, there were snakes everywhere. People just kept, oh, remember Kim K sent out that tweet that was like, oh, it turns out today's also National Snake Day. How convenient.
Go away.
But at the time, though, Taylor Swift was cancelled, and she was cancelled hard. I mean, I've been a Swiftie my whole life, and I...
No, I'm shocked. I can't tell.
I was also kind of jumped on that bandwagon where I went, oh, how could she? That's so wrong. Without nobody ever questioned that this was coming from people whose whole lives are based off reality TV.
Well, their whole lives are curated. What made us not question that this situation wasn't curated as well for their benefit?
Yeah.
That's what scares me, is that, like, now looking back, I mean, I wasn't great with Twitter or social media at this current point in time, so I don't think I really understood what was happening as much as I now do, and now haven't spoken to you about it. But it was specifically curated and released to create drama, and for the intention of getting publicity onto Kanye's album, newly released album.
I think when it comes to cancel culture, questioning the source is really important before we do decide that we're canceling somebody. Who's doing the canceling? Whose set of ideologies are we conforming to? And when it comes to trends on social media, challenges and hashtag things that are calling upon people, I think it's important to not to question where it's coming from, but to do research on why is this a thing. Going back to the source is important in both contexts, but they're both for different reasons.
Absolutely. And I think that it's, you know, with this particular situation, I mean, as we've previously stated in this episode, we are scared about sharing information online because we don't want to get called out or cancelled. Imagine that on a celebrity scale, on a global scale.
It'd be fucking terrifying.
How impactful on your mental health, on your well-being.
Kelly Rowland recently, she wrote a statement on Instagram and she said, "In this cancel culture we live in, I am so grateful God never cancelled me, and I'm sure he could have many a times. Let us always try to remember not to judge others. We honestly don't have the space nor authority to. Let us remember to lead with love and kindness. The world has enough negativity for you to pour more into it."
That's so true.
And then she said the hashtag stop trying to be God.
That's actually a really interesting point. Like, stop trying to be the playmaker of
Who decides?
Of social media or society.
Yeah, I thought that was...
I really like the idea of, like, leading with love and kindness too, because I think that that's something...
We forget all the time.
We forget, and it's also, I feel like, personally, I feel like that kind of concept can sometimes be, like, kind of intertwined in, like, these stigmatized cliches of, like... of like being nice and like you just have to be nice all the time when it's like it's that's not the concept. The concept is like being conscious of like sharing prior to sharing it, being conscious of what you're going to say, being conscious of who it's going to affect and who it's going to influence and leading with that respect.
Like we were just talking about before with like cancelling friends, I think we forget all the time to lead with love and kindness.
Cancel, the word is very finite.
Yeah.
It has a full stop. And that's why I sometimes struggle with it. Like being called out, it allows room for growth still. Being cancelled is very one concept and that's the end of it.
Should be more accountability culture than...
cancel culture.
But in saying that, like I said before, there definitely are situations where some people just should not have a platform. So now Bella's going to do her tea cakeaways, which Bella, don't explain this concept because...
Literally just came up with it then because I'm a genius. So you know how everyone says spill the tea?
Yes, I'm aware.
I'm going to take some cake. I don't even know where I'm going with this. No, I just said tea takeaways and then it turned into tea cakeaways. And like I much prefer tea and cake.
Yeah, okay. Tea cakeaways, give them to me.
Okay, my key takeaways or tea cakeaways are... lead with kindness and love.
Thanks, Kelly Rowland, for that.
Thanks, Kelly Rowland. We love you. We are not worthy of you. Kels, what are your key takeaways? Tea takeaways.
You're not even saying your own bloody segment
name
right.
I just said it. Tea cakeaways.
Tea cakeaways.
I'm going to get that trademarked.
Mine would be think before you start cancelling your friends and always go to the source of information and decide for yourself if it's what you agree with or if you don't agree with it.
And do your research.
Do your research.
Do your research. Understand the situation as a whole.
It's about being cognizant, right?
100%.
Be alive, be awake, get that energy.
Be ready for it, get that energy.
I don't know. It's been a long day.
I like get that energy. There are so many just like little snippets of audio that we're going to grab out of this. I can't wait.
So if you have enjoyed this episode, please feel free to subscribe, leave a review. And follow us.
We're so good at this part. Like, we actually nail it every time. It is flawless.
I know.
Follow us on Instagram, 23_podcast. So this is what happens when you get pressure put onto you. You can't perform up to the standard that you expect of yourself.
At 23_podcast on Instagram.
Okay, bye, girls.
Bye.
Love ya.
Love you.
Why is there a question mark after that?
Love you.
Hooroo.
Bye.
Bye. I'm going to cancel Kelsey now. I'm done.